good morning, everyone. It is a busy day today between Veterans Day and Orphan Sunday. It is a day of hope fulfilled for the Minnesota Gophers. Woo! And it is a day of still hoping for the Minnesota Vikings. So we'll see, and we get all day to wait to find out about that. It is also a very special and important day in that it is the 44th anniversary of a significant maritime event. And perhaps some of you know what it is, and I'm going to give you one other hint that might help a little bit. Gordon Lightfoot sang a song about it. It was on this day in 1975 that the Edmund Fitzgerald got in trouble in Lake Superior, and they ended up sinking, and all 29 crew members were lost on that day, 44 years ago. And as you can well imagine, whenever something like that happens, a disaster, there's an inquiry and an investigation trying to find out what the cause of it. And there have been documentaries made, and there has been research done, and wondering, and graphs, and charts, and trying to figure out exactly what went wrong. And there are lots of theories out there, but it kind of boils down to a couple of things. One is, there was a bad storm that day. And we shouldn't be surprised, because storms come. But the other finding was this, and it's a little bit painful. The captain thought they were going to be okay, and he was wrong. The captain had options. They could have taken the ship into safe harbor. They could have lowered the anchor. They could have found a place that was going to be safe and hold them firm in the midst of a storm and no matter, and then carry on with life. But he thought they were going to be okay. And I use that as a little bit of a springboard for us as we talk about hope, because we've been talking about hope for the last few weeks, that it's so important and so central and vital to our lives. But some of us get ourselves in trouble because we don't have an anchor for our hope and one that holds true, and we find ourselves anchoring in the wrong things at times. We're tempted to think that the problem with hope and the things that make things hopeless that would lead us into despair are the circumstances that we come to in life. But despair is not the problem. The circumstances are not the problem. It is not the result of our circumstances, but it is the result of losing hope. And yeah, we're going to talk about some hopeless situations today. And when we find ourselves in those tough times and those situations where the doctor comes and gives us news that we don't want to hear, and when we're served papers by our spouse that they want to call your marriage done, or the business venture where the goal was to get it off the ground, but it ends up getting defeated and deflated before it ever rises. And where is hope? Wouldn't it be easy to conclude that it's the circumstances of life that steal our hope and lead us to the point of despair? And yet, I could give you story after story after story today of people who've gone through some of the worst of times, and their lives still have a certain sense of joy and peace in the midst of all their despair, because they've anchored their hope in a place and in a person that holds firm. Well, through my life and my experience, I've seen lots of different things that get us in trouble in terms of putting our hope in the wrong place. And I've picked out three of them today to talk about a little bit. And you're going to find them all in Scripture as well. But the first place that gets us in trouble is that we put our anchor and we put our hope in the wrong treasure. And there's a part of me that thinks that, well, this is only an American problem because of all of our resources and everything. But I've concluded that this is a problem around the world. Otherwise, it wouldn't be in the Bible, because the Bible's for everybody. But it maybe gets Americans in a little bit more in trouble because we tend to turn the volume up a little bit. One of the places I've seen this is if you turn on your TV and watch for very much time at all, you start bumping into these home improvement shows, don't you? You know, and there's Fixer Upper and Flipper Flop and flipping Vegas and flipping Nashville and flipping Chicago and flipping Atlanta and flipping every other town in the United States, which just lets us know there's a certain market to this genre because people want to watch these shows. And I can't help but look and wonder why it is that they're so popular and so compelling to so many people that these shows keep coming out. And I've kind of concluded that there's two things that come out in those shows, and one of them I absolutely love, and the other one I absolutely hate. The one I love is this. Don't we all love stories of redemption and restoration? And don't we love this idea that you can take this old and ugly house and carve some things away and to dress it up and fix it up, and that somewhere in there is something beautiful and useful? I love those stories. And I confess that as I get older, I love those stories even more and more. That somewhere under all that crud, there is something that's good and has value. That's a good story. I love that. The one I hate is this. It's this certain belief and understanding that says, if you fix up your house a little bit, life's going to be better. You know what? If you got marriage problems, or you got kids who are in trouble, or you got someone that's sick, you know it'll fix all that? A little bit of shiplap. You put up shiplap in your house, and all your problems are going to go away, and you're just going to be happy all the days of your life. And that thing comes through in all these, and then finally you have a house that you deserve, and you're going to love it, and you're going to enjoy it, and you're going to live happily ever after. And we all get sucked into that for a moment, and then we stop and think and say, wait, that's not how life is. No marriage has ever been saved by shiplap. No one has ever found hope that lasts in French doors. No. It takes more than that, but sometimes we get sucked into that belief that if we dress up things on the outside, somehow things are going to be better. And it's just not true. One of the clearest scriptures that I know of on that is found in 1 Timothy. The Apostle Paul is writing, and he starts like this. Command those who are rich in this present world, and notice he has two issues, not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth. And that arrogant part is just that understanding that it is so tempting to think that, well, because the Joneses have shiplap, they're better people than me, and if I'm going to keep up with them, I need to somehow rise my level of existence and the coolness of my house to the level of the Jones, otherwise I'm just not good. But if you take the reverse of that, then because I do have shiplap in my house, and true confession, I do. That makes me better than the Smiths who live down the road because I'm cool and I listen to Chip and Joanna and my life is together. And there's this temptation to be arrogant and to say, I've got money and you don't. It means I must have worked harder than you. I must have been smarter than you. If you would have only followed the principles that I did and do how I did, then you could be rich too. And Paul says, be careful of that kind of thinking. And rich people are tempted to be arrogant, and even worse than that, they're tempted to put their hope, which is what this series is about, in wealth. And there's this shift that can take place in our lives when we come and say, you know what, it's a scary world out there, so I need to buy some things to make myself feel safe. And if I have the right health insurance, and the right life insurance, and the right property insurance, the right car insurance, the right security system, and if I do everything that I can in my own being to make myself safe and to spare no cost into making myself safe, then I'm safe. And Paul says, whoa, whoa, whoa. Be careful of that kind of thinking. The verse goes on. Not to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. And again, if I can just point out a couple of words here. that God provides us everything and for our enjoyment. And if I could speak so boldly, that doesn't mean that it's wrong to have a nice house or to have shiplap in your house. In fact, it's a good thing, let me tell you. It's not a bad thing to go out for a nice meal or to go on a nice vacation. God has given us everything for our enjoyment. The danger is when we step over that line and start putting our hope and our trust in wealth, which is so uncertain. Let's read the rest of the text. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. And I love it when I come to phrases like this in Scripture that talks about taking hold of the life that is truly life, because it lets me know that if there is a life that is truly life, there is also a life that is a fake life. There's a life that doesn't last, and it doesn't give security, and it doesn't give us joy. And the pursuit of all these things that we pursue after don't help and don't fulfill us. So do what you can to take hold of the life that is truly life, and to use what we have to do good deeds and to share and to care for the widows and the orphans in their distress. And this lays up treasure and gives us a life that is truly life. I was reminded of this again just a couple weeks ago. We have a class that meets on Monday night called Discipleship Explored. And it's a class that takes some video clips from different Christians around the world. And in this particular one, they had a very short video clip. If it was longer, I would have brought it up for you. But it was so short. But it was from the back of a guy who lives in a persecuted country, so they couldn't even show his face. And he just made this statement that has just been burned into my mind once again. Possessions mean nothing when you're being persecuted. The only thing that matters is having hope in God. Be careful of putting your anchor in the wrong place. Because when the bad storms come, they don't help. Second one I want to talk about is that some people end up putting their hope and trusting in the wrong time zone. Some of you might wonder by that, and no, I'm not talking about daylight savings time. In one sense, I'm very glad to be done with it. I don't like that it's dark at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. I don't like all summer with daylight savings time living in this corporate position of deceit where we have come together as people and decided to lie to ourselves about what time it really is. Because that's what we do all summer. So I'm glad that we're living in truth and reality once again, even though it's dark before 5. No, I'm talking about, and let me tell you, this point in many ways is the hardest one I'm going to share with you today. The thing about money, that's just deceitful, and it gets in our way, and we get lured off into bad thinking. But when it comes to the wrong time zone, let me tell you, and this one is deadly. The wrong time zone is that I want all the things that God has promised to me, and I want them. I heard it whispered. No! I hate waiting. I don't like to wait. I don't like to wait in line at the grocery store. I don't like to wait for a commercial when it's on TV. I don't want to wait until December 20th when the new Star Wars movie comes out. I don't want to wait for all these things. I don't want to wait for the resolution of the questions that I have in my life when things are going to be better. And I don't want to live my life that someday things are going to be better. I want it now. And even in my faith, I'm going to cry out to God and come to him and ask him and plead with him. And God, if you could just take care of this issue, I'm going to give you 10 minutes. Are we good? And some people get themselves in great trouble because they think that hope is a matter of getting it, everything you want now. How about what the psalmist said? Psalm 37. Be still before the Lord and wait. Can I just skip one word? For him. No, I can't skip words. But to wait patiently for him and to believe and know that God is at work and that sometimes his game is a long game and things that are happening in my life, I am not going to find out the reason for it for years and years and years. And it might be generations and generations because God has this plan that is so bigger than the now of me. And I want it to all be now, and I want to find nice, cute, happy, complete answers that can look at people and say, oh, I know why this happened to your life, so this and this and this could happen, and we all lived happily ever after. And that makes me so angry, because God is at work in so much bigger ways and so much more complex. And hope calls that at times I'm going to have to wait. How about the example of Abraham and Sarah? We have kind of the Reader's Digest condensed version of their story from Genesis in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. And in that story, we find out that God spoke to Abraham and told him that he was going to be the father of a great people and that he and Sarah were just going to have to leave where they were and follow after God, and God would give them offspring, and their offspring would be as many as the stars in the sky. And then they started waiting. Through their 40s, their 50s, their 60s, their 70s, their 80s, and into their 90s, and Abraham into 100. And who can blame them for kind of giving up along the way and figuring out this wasn't going to work, or else I'm going to have to figure out a different way and it's going to be up to me. And God calls us to wait on him and to wait patiently. And they waited patiently. And finally, Sarah became pregnant, and she had a little baby, and it started the descendants that would be more than the stars of the sky. And I'm sure their desire was to see the second, third, fourth, fifth generation so they could start to get a glimpse of some of these stars in the sky. But instead, they didn't have enough offspring to fill the Big Dipper. And we come to this sobering and powerful verse in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13, that goes like this. It's about other heroes of faith, but specifically Abraham and Sarah. These people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things that were promised to them now. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were not home yet. And at times we get confused with this because we want home to be now. And Scripture tells us that we're not home. We're strangers and foreigners. And that someday we will be home and it'll be awesome. But we're not home yet. And Scripture tells us that we'll receive our reward in heaven. And we don't want our reward in heaven. We want it now. And even if we can't afford it, we're just going to use a credit card and get it now because we hate waiting. And to some of those tough and complicated questions that we would come to that are so perplexing and painful, and we just cry out to God and say, why? Why did this happen? And we may have to wait. But please understand, waiting for the promise, waiting for they all lived happily ever after, is way better than there's no happily ever after. So as a Christian, if I'm going to have a hope that really holds me in the storms of life, I'm going to have to be willing to wait patiently for the Lord. One more. We get ourselves in trouble sometimes because we hope in the wrong person. And we think that somehow there's somebody out there who's worthy of putting our hope in. And we just depend on them, and we think that they're going to provide happiness for us. And I came up with a few of the options, because sometimes people will put their trust in themselves. You know, it's just up to me. I'm going to have to be tough. I'm going to have to endure. Nobody else is going to do this, so I guess it's up to me. So I'm going to put my hope in myself and my toughness and my strength. And I'm glad that you're tough and you have strength and you have resilience, but it's not enough when the storms of life come. Could I remind you that the captain of the Edmund Fitzgerald put his hope in himself? It's not enough. Others put hope in the one. You know, there's just got to be somebody out there who's going to make my life complete. There's got to be a boy. There's got to be a girl. There's got to be someone out there who's just going to fill my heart with joy and peace, and I'm going to cling to them, and they're going to be my knight in shining armor, or my damsel in distress, that I'm able to rescue and feel worth and value in myself because I'm so important. And when I find that one who makes me feel like I want to feel, life will be good. And our expectations get so inflated, and our disappointment becomes so overwhelming, and our disillusionment is just... It's what happens when we have the wrong anchor. Others put their hope in someone, and often in a democracy, it's in some political candidate. And for the next 12 months, we're going to have to listen to different political candidates who will say, please put your hope in me and give me your vote. And what boggles my mind is not someone that they would ask for it, but that thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people, and don't go on Facebook, but you could go on Facebook and see these people, they believe the lie that someone out there can fix all our problems and we're all good. And whatever candidate that is, you vote for him if you want, just don't put your trust in him because you will be disappointed. And the only option that makes sense to us is putting our hope in God. Could I remind you of Psalm 20? Psalm 20. Some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, some trust in politicians, some trust in lovers, some trust in shiplap. But we will put our trust in the name of God, and we will anchor our hope in Him, and no matter what comes our way, we will keep our eyes fixed on Him as the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross. And I will trust in Him and I will wait for Him. And then how about 1 Peter? It's a verse we've kept coming back to throughout this series. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And the hope that I have is found in life. It's found in one who's living. It's found in one who is able. It's found in one who is at work. And if He can conquer the grave, He can conquer everything. I need to tell you a story. As you can well imagine, being a pastor, at times you come into some situations that from the world's perspective seem pretty hopeless. I mean, they're just brutal. This past year, I've done a bunch of funerals. I did a tough one last March. Little boy was born with physical challenges. His parents were young. I mean, young. And they fought for that little boy. They were just heroic. I mean, they sacrificed to themselves. They would work double shifts so the other one could be there, and then double shifts so the other one could be there. I mean, they were there all the time. And their extended families were great, and they loved, and they cared. And they had doctors. They had the best doctors money could buy. And those doctors used the best of their profession, best of their instincts, and best of their compassion and care as they got involved with this little boy. And they cared for him and cared for him and loved on him and treated him, and nurses. And then he died. It was one of those situations where even as a pastor, I had to prepare my heart to walk into this situation, because things like that, they hit me as well as they hit you. And I expected my concept of hope to take a little bit of a hit. And I walked in prepared in my mind for the question of saying, if there is a God, how could he allow this? Where is God at a time like this? And I didn't get my full answer to that question until I walked into the place where the funeral was. And the answer I had shouting in my ears, you want to know where I am? I'm on a cross dying to conquer the grave, to promise eternal life, so that this moment is not the end of the moments, and that someday they will live happily ever after. And in the meantime, we toil and we struggle and we wonder and we grieve, but we have a hope that clings to a Christ who is risen and who is able and who is at work. And my hope, which I was afraid might take a hit on that day, became clearer than it ever has been before, because I believe that there is a God, and I believe that he is at work, and I believe that he is good, and he is at work in all things to bring glory to his name. And I believe that in that moment that he is at work, and I will put my trust in him. And I don't like waiting for the answer and the resolution to all this pain, but I will wait and have new reason to say, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. And in the meantime, we have the opportunity to be dispensers of that same kind of hope, and to encourage and point others to the hope that is found in Christ, and the reason that lasts beyond the grave into all eternity. And I will put my hope in him. Let's pray. Lord, we gather as a people today, all of us needing an anchor. And for some of us, we really need that anchor, because the storms, I mean, the winds are blowing right now, and it feels so hopeless. And Lord, on this day, help us to be a people who cling to you, who put our faith in you, and that we don't put our faith in another person, but in you, that you are a God who is at work. Help us on this day to fix our eyes on you. Encourage the discouraged. Strengthen the knees of those who are ready to buckle under the weight. And may we come together and proclaim once again that you are a God who is able, and you are at work, and you are at work in all things, and nothing can separate us from your love. Not death, not life, not angels, not demons, not things past, not things to come, because you are at work in all things, and nothing can separate us from you and your love. So for those especially in the midst of heartache and despair, may you speak words of hope and encouragement into their souls on this day. Jesus' name. Amen. Some of the old hymn writers had it right. They had different phrases of, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. I'm glad that we can come to the table today to remind ourselves of what life is about and what eternity is about, and that when Christ died on the cross, he not only took care of our past and our sins, and he empowers our present to live for him, but he has promised us a place with him for all eternity. And on this day, I thank him again for giving me reason to hope and reason to cling and reason to believe in him.